new series on who is the Holy Spirit. Right, we're going to take the next couple of weeks talking about who is the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Dale preached a wonderful message. He gave it all he got, like he normally does. And the 3 points that I got out from that is that the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does. Right? He lifts the fog in our eyes. He lets us see through things. He guides us. He directs us. He helps us in times of need. He does all that. And so, and because of that, we need to stay hungry. We need to stay hungry for that Holy Spirit. And we need to encounter the Holy Spirit, as often as we can. We need to go out there and seek after Him and search after Him. And you have to experience the Holy Spirit to know the Holy Spirit. Right? You can read about it. You can watch movies on it. But if you don't experience, you're not going to know who the Holy Spirit is. And so those are the 3 points that I got out from three little points that I got from Pastor Dale's sermon last week. And so we're going to continue on in the sermon series on who the Holy Spirit is. But before I start, I just got a quick question for you. How many of you guys have ever know what a bucket brigade is? Anybody know what a bucket brigade is? Oh, a couple of hands. Okay. How many of you guys have seen the old, sometimes an old Western movie when there's a fire burning at the end of the block? And they form a line of buckets, and they pass the buckets from one to another to try to put out that fire. How many of you guys have seen that on a Western show or something like that? All right, more of you guys did. So a bucket brigade is the way that they used to fight fires, right? They'd pass the bucket down from one another to throw water on this fire because they didn't have fire hoses at that time. You know, there was a camp out Royal Rangers had here a few years ago, and kids being kids, teenagers being teenagers, they accidentally started a fire there. It was up in Sharps Creek in Payson. And so one of the commanders who was a hotshot, he was a forest fire, he fought forest fires, he ran into the middle of that thing and assessed the situation and got everybody together to form a bucket brigade. And so they did. They formed a bucket brigade from the creek that was right there all the way to where the fire was, and they passed the buckets and they threw it out and they doused it. And they put it out. They put it out before the fire department even got there. And when the fire department got there, they said, "Hey, how'd you guys do this?" And they told them, "Hey, we did a bucket brigade." And they were pretty impressed. They were glad that we were there. And so, you know, bucket brigades are effective. They work. But they're only effective and they only work if you have a full bucket. Because if you pass the bucket and some of the water sloshes out and kind of goes away, you get a half bucket, you throw it on the fire, it's not going to do a whole lot of work. If we have an empty bucket, the guy throwing the bucket looks at the empty one. Well, that ain't going to do any good, so he throws them away. So bucket brigade only works if we have a full bucket. So we need our buckets to be full to put out that fire. And the same goes for us as believers. As believers, we need to have a full bucket. We need to have a full bucket of who God is. We need to have a full bucket of who the Holy Spirit is. And those experiences. And then in having that, we're able to pass that bucket down on to the next generation, to the next person in line, or our future. Right? And believers in the Old Testament, they were pretty adamant about making sure this happened. They were pretty diligent about making sure that we passed on full buckets. It was important to them. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." It says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So they were pretty purposeful on passing these things down. And so it's our job now to pass on these things, to pass on these spiritual experiences, to pass on this knowledge of God to our kids and make those spiritual deposits that have been put in us to be deposited into somebody else. It's our job to do that. So how can we do that? How can we guarantee that that our kids are going to have gain a full bucket when it comes to their term. How are we going to remember all that we've learned, or recall all that we've experienced to be able to pass down to them? How are we going to make it important for us to know that, hey, you know, I have a job to do as a dad, as a parent, I have a job to do with my kids. It's to raise them, sure, but it's also to pass on the knowledge that I know of who God is. It's also for me to pass on the experience of what I've experienced and tell them the stories that I've gone through to my kids. And hopefully they'll learn from those experiences and they'll be able to pass those on to their kids. And so we just keep passing it on. Because we've got to pass on a full bucket. It's very important. So I'm going to start with filling up your buckets this morning. Who knows what today is? Anybody knows what today is? Besides Sunday. That's a given, right? Pentecost Sunday. Who knows what Pentecost Sunday is? Don't be shy. All right, there's a few of you. Well, for those of you who might not know, for those of you who are a little unsure about what it is, allow me to fill up your bucket this morning as we talk about what Pentecost Sunday is and what it means to us today as believers. So Pentecost Sunday is the day that the Holy Spirit descended onto this people and filled them up with the evidence of speaking in tongues and doing great signs of wonders and miracles. It was the day that they had been waiting for a long time. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he would talk to them about wait for the gift that the Father has for you. And today was the day that that happened. See, it was during the Feast of Pentecost that this took place. And it was 50 days or 7 weeks after the resurrection that this took place. So those of you who don't believe me or trust me, want to check for yourself, look on your Google calendars and count back 7 weeks, or if you want to count 50 days, you can do that. But you'll see that 7 weeks ago was Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. So today, 50 days later, seven weeks later, the Holy Spirit fell onto the people that were there. And we get that witness, or we get that account from the book of Acts. So in Acts chapter 2, as I try to flip that page. In Acts chapter 2 it says, "So when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as the fire appeared to them, and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, a multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each was hearing them speak in his own language." I shouldn't have looked away. I lost my place. There he goes. "And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" This is the part that I had to practice. There's a lot of names in here that are not common to our tongue. "So Perinthians, right, Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling of our own tongues the mighty works of God." Now that's a pretty miraculous scenario that happened right there. People from all walks of land, all walks of life, all different nations came in, and as these men began to speak, they started hearing this in their own tongue. Now, I had tried to line up a nice little video clip from Netflix, The Bible, where it kind of shows this. It kind of shows that the wind came through, and unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, imagine that, it didn't happen. But it's okay. I'm going to act it out for you guys. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not going to do that. No, you don't want me to do that. But even looking at that little video clip, even watching that, you know, and as great as magical as movies can be and as theatrical as they can be, I still don't think it did it justice. I still can't imagine that sound of that mighty rushing wind just coming through all of a sudden from everywhere. I mean, I've been out camping in the forest, and you hear the wind start to blow through the trees, and you can hear it from a distance as it kind of wafts through and kind of blows through the trees, and you hear it pass you by. But I'm sure nothing of that compared to that day that Holy Spirit fell. Holy Spirit fell on that day. Right? And you know, they witnessed that. These people witnessed that. And it was a life-changing event. Their lives were changed from that day on. Life was different for them. And God had done that many times throughout mankind, throughout the history. Imagine the parting of the Red Sea. Right? I'm sure a lot of us have watched the old Ten Commandments version where the sea kind of parts, or even the Disney version, the Prince of Egypt, where the sea kind of parts. There's one shot where the lightning flashes, you see a silhouette of a whale, you know, swimming in there. I don't think there's whales in the Red Sea, but you get the drift. But even still, I can't imagine standing at the edge of a water and then all of a sudden just seeing it part. Can you imagine that? I mean, just try to grasp that phenomenon that was taking place. And then to look to where the water was, and the ground was dry. It wasn't wet, it wasn't muddy, it wasn't sloppy. I mean, we get some rain up here, we start walking through the mud, or, you know, in other parts of the country where it rains a lot, you get stuck in that mud. No, that water, that ground was dry. Dry as the desert that we live in. And the people of Israel walked across that. Or the pillar of fire that would fall down at night. Or even the walking on water. Right? How many of us have been swimming? How many of us have tried to walk on water in a pool? Right? How'd you do, Nick? Not so well. Yeah. Right? Just imagine taking that step and just hearing, you know, you hear footsteps as people walk. But what does a footstep on water sound like? You know, does it splash? Does it make noise? Or what is that like? Or what is it? I can't imagine what it was like to see all that. Well, that day of Pentecost, that day changed their lives. It was spectacular. And that day took place on this day some 2,000 years ago. So it's important that we know our history. As believers, we know the history of the Old Testament through the New Testament. Right? We got to fill up our bucket. We got to change what we know, and we got to learn from what we know. And if you would have seen in that video clip, those of you who have Netflix, can go back to the Bible episode 10. About when there's 40 minutes left into the episode, you'll see it right there. But when they started, the disciples were kind of, or the people that were there were kind of worried. They were wondering what was going to happen. Jesus had just left, and all this was going on. And they were waiting for the promise that God had talked about, and they were worried. And then as the wind came, and as the tongues began to speak, and the people began to hear, it shows the Pharisees running for cover, like Pharisees would have done back in those days, because they don't understand. And so the anxiety that was in the room had left. The worry that was in the room amongst the believers was gone. All the fear that they might have had was gone. And that was all because the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit came down and filled them and calmed them. And from that point on, all that they had witnessed, they knew it was going to be all right. They knew things were going to carry out and life was going to be good. They knew that they didn't need to worry because the Holy Spirit was there with them, the Comforter, the Peacemaker. And that same Holy Spirit that was with them then is here with us today. And we can have that same feeling. We can have that same peace. We can have that same comfort that they did. We can have that same infilling and speaking in tongues that they did. And we can rest assured because our God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And every believer should. No, every believer needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every believer needs to have that accompaniment in their lives. Especially now, in the time that we're living in. Right? We know it's close to the end. The world that we live in is a lot different world than it was 100 years ago. It's a lot different than it was 50 years ago. So we're getting close to that end time. We need that Holy Spirit in our lives to give us wisdom, to give us insight, to give us knowledge of things that are going on around us. We need that Holy Spirit in us to be able to help those who are lost, to give us boldness to speak to those who are lost and don't know. We need that Holy Spirit in us to help set a path of morality that's kind of shifted in our land. And we need that Holy Spirit to give us that confidence in our faith to be able to do that. Because without the power of the Holy Spirit, try as we may, it'll be hard. But with that power of the Holy Spirit, with that life-changing fire that fills us up, it'll be a lot easier. Plus, we'll have the Holy Spirit there to guide us, to give us words when we don't know what to speak, to give us faith when our faith is low, to give us strength when we can't go on, and to give us a peace that when everything else around us is crumbling and falling apart and falling down, that Holy Spirit will give us a peace that nothing else can give us. So what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, you got to know it's a spiritual experience, right? And it's a spiritual experience that happens after salvation. See, after salvation, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. The Holy Spirit is with us at that point, right? In Romans 8, verse 9, it says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not believe in the Spirit does not believe in Christ." So if you don't believe in the Spirit, you don't believe in Christ, you don't have it with you. So the opposite is true then. If you believe in Christ, you have the Spirit with you. Because that Holy Spirit is what led you to that point to begin with, to believe in Christ. That conviction that you felt, that sense of wrong that what you were doing. And then once you did get saved, you felt the joy, you felt the peace. That's that Holy Spirit. You felt the desire to change your life. That's the Holy Spirit that comes upon us. But the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptizing of the Holy Spirit, well, that's the next step. That's a step beyond. How many of you guys have ever played Super Mario Brothers growing up? Anybody? Super Smash Brothers, all that fun stuff. What happens when you level up, right? Or Mario grows up, right? Things change. He gets stars. He moves about. He levels up. He changes. Things start to happen in his life. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is like. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you level up. You get a little stronger. You move on to the next one, right? Things inside of you start to change and are different. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He helps you to level up. He gives you the strength you need to do that. And when we do level up, when we do take that step up, the Bible says you'll receive power. You receive power. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high." So we're going to be clothed with the power from on high. So what does that clothing look like? Is it like designer clothes? You're going to have some stylish new, you know, what is, I don't even know what designer stuff anymore. Back in the day, it was Vidal Sassoon. You had to have the Vidal Sassoon jeans back in my day. That was cool. That's when you were in style. I never had those. I wasn't in style. Or is the Izod Lacoste, you know, the polo shirts. I didn't have those either. I had Kmart stuff, but that's okay. That's okay. But we're not talking about that kind of clothing. We're not talking about that kind of clothes that are on the outward appearance. But it's on the inside is what we're going to be clothed with and what we're going to be changed and what we're going to be turned around, right? It's that Spirit that comes upon us that's going to give us the wisdom we need to make it through and navigate through this life. It's the Spirit that comes upon us that gives us knowledge. It's the Spirit that gives us that extra faith that we need to make it through when times are just a little tough. It's the Spirit that comes upon us that allows us to be a part of and witness those healings and those miracles that happen that the Bible talks about, but they still happen today. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to do that. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can work in the gifts of the Spirit through prophecy and evangelism and all the other gifts that are there. And it's speaking in tongues. It's speaking in tongues. So to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is to speak in tongues. That's the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because it said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, down towards the bottom, it talks about all the different experiences. It says, and to other various kinds of tongues, we'll be given those various kinds. We will be given those various kinds of tongues. Sometimes my tongue goes faster than my mind, or vice versa. It gets twisted up there. Right, but it's that baptism that we receive that takes our walk to the next level. It fills our bucket. It helps us to be able to pass on a full bucket. It strengthens our relationship with Christ. It strengthens our relationship with God. And it's kind of like when you first start dating, right? You first start dating, you first kind of like a person, and then you write them a note, hey, do you like me? Yes or no? You circle it, right? And then, again, back in my day, there was a difference between going with and going out with somebody. Do you want to go with me, or do you want to go out with me? In our youth group, that was a big thing. Are you guys going with each other, or are you guys going out? I was like, is there a difference? You know, I didn't know, but apparently there was. But it's just that first little... It's that first little getting to know each other, getting to like each other, you know, kind of crush of a thing. And then you take that next step to engagement, right? You ask that person, that love of your life, to be your spouse, your husband or your wife. And that's kind of done in front of people, right? You kind of make a it's not a little note you're going to write, but hey, would you like to marry me? Yes or no? No, you got to take it up a level. You got to step it up. You know, you got to get, guys, boys, you got to get down on one knee. Ain't no doubt about it. You've got to get down on one knee as you ask your wife to be, or your dating partner to be your wife. Right? Because it's that commitment level. And hopefully she says yes. Otherwise, there's other things to that. And then you take that final step of marriage. Right? And that's performed in front of everybody. Family, friends, everybody. That commitment has gotten deeper. That's like the Holy Spirit, right? When you first get saved, you got that, you're dating the Holy Spirit. He's just right with you. He's your accompaniment. He goes wherever you go. And then you want to take that next step, right? And you desire Him. You want to go to that engagement process, or that marriage process, and you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, and your life changes. Your walk changes. And it's all because of the power of the Holy Spirit. It changes who you are. It changes your commitment level. It changes your relationship with God. And it does more in your life than you could ever imagine. It gives you the strength, it gives you the ability to go out and do more than you ever thought you could do. I never thought growing up, you can ask my wife, when we were dating in the youth group, I never thought that I would be up here one day speaking to a group of people, because I was a shy kind of guy. You might not know that now, but it's true. I was a little shy. But it changes you. That Holy Spirit fills you up and gives you the strength and gives you the ability to do things that you never thought you could do. You got to trust it. You got to ask for it. You got to want it. And He'll give it to you. So why should we be filled with the Holy Spirit? This is a good time to take a drink. Why should we be filled with the Holy Spirit? The early church, when it was just kind of getting going back in the New Testament, the early church sought it out. They sought out that baptism of the Holy Spirit. They looked for it wherever they went. It was almost expected, right? You experience salvation, then you'd experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one right after the other, almost simultaneously, it seemed like, as you read the Scriptures. Because they had such a hunger for who Christ was. So you got to remember, up until that point, all that they had known was the old covenant, the old ways of doing things, right? Whereas if you wanted forgiveness of sins, well, you had to take your offering to the priest, and they had to lay it on the table, and had to go through the whole ritual of sacrifice. And then there's these Ten Commandments that you had to follow, plus a hundred other more that men wanted to help God along with and create along with those Ten Commandments. You had to try and follow those. And you couldn't eat this meat, or you couldn't eat that. You couldn't do this on the Sabbath. You couldn't do that. And there's all these rules and all these old ways of living. But then this man called Jesus comes onto the town. He comes onto the scene and turns everything upside down. Everything that you had known from your past and you had heard from ancestors that had been passed down from you is now different. It's now changed. And there was an excitement in the air. The people were excited about that. So when they experienced that salvation, they wanted that baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they got it. It happened because of that excitement that they wanted, that anticipation that they had. And on that day of Pentecost, you got to remember that all those people in that room, man, had to have been eyewitnesses to what was going on, or at least ear witnesses if they weren't in that area. But this is only like 53 days after Christ was crucified and rose again. Less than 2 months after the Holy Spirit happened and fell on those people waiting in Jerusalem. So they knew what was going on. They heard the stories of all that what Jesus was doing through his ministries. They might have seen all that he did. So they were excited about this. They were anticipating this. They were hoping for it. And because they were trying to change the whole structure of what it meant to be a follower of Christ or a son of God, they needed that strength of the Holy Spirit to kind of come against, but to change the status quo of the time. Because you got to remember that way of following the Lord or that life of living a clean life was steeped in thousands of years of background, of tradition, of knowledge that was passed on. And now here comes a new way of doing it. They needed that power of the Holy Spirit to give them the strength that they needed to make the difference in the world where they're at. That's why they needed it. And now here we are today. Here we are today in a time where the struggle is real. I really feel bad for my kids now having to grow up in this kind of life. Right? When I was a kid, man, I'd hop on my bike and I'd just ride for hours, all over the town. We'd be gone from sunup till almost sundown because Mom would get mad if I didn't come home before it was dark. But I was gone all day. Now, man, we better let our kids go around the block. You got to be back in 3 minutes because, you know, you don't know what's going on. It's a scary world that our kids live in nowadays to raise up. They won't get to know the joys of riding to their friend's house and just hanging out and riding down the dirt path to who knows where. If you lived in the woods, just exploring or just being a kid because of the craziness that's out there and the fear and the ridiculousness of people's minds and attitudes. It's scary. So that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And back in the early church, when they would hear reports of things that were going on, and they heard that, hey, that they weren't being baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were only being baptized in water. Well, they made sure that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can see it in Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. It says, now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them. But they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That water baptism, that's all they had had. So then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Bam, just like that. So they went out and made sure that the Holy Spirit was received. And that's our job, church, nowadays. Today, we got to do the same thing. If people are getting saved, amen, praise God, but then, hey, what's next? We got to go out there and make sure that they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because today we need that same power in our lives to make it through with what we're going through. And this is why we need that power. Because when you receive that power of the Holy Spirit, you receive that overflowing fullness of the Spirit that only He can give. Right? The Bible says in John chapter 7 that out of His heart will flow rivers of living water. So with the power of that Holy Spirit, rivers of living water are going to come flowing out of us. Now, I'm not talking Arizona rivers, like Tonto Creek River. That's not a river. I'm talking about like Mississippi-type rivers or the Nile-type rivers. Right? We don't have rivers here. If we have river beds that are dried up, that's not what I'm talking about. We don't want a dried up Holy Spirit. We want that rivers of living water flowing out of us. And with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's going to happen. That's why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You receive a deeper reverence for God. In Acts chapter 2, and right around verse 42 and 44, it says, "And an awe came upon every soul. An awe for who God was, a respect for who God was." When I try to teach my kids that, you know, to fear the Lord, to fear God, not to be afraid of Him, not to cower when He comes, but to respect Him, to respect who He is because of what He's done. I mean, God did kind of create this world. He did kind of create the universe. He did put up all the stars that were up there. I would say that deserves some awe. He's raised people from the dead. That deserves some awe. He's healed people, blind people, deaf people. That deserves some awe. And you get that deeper reverence, you get that awe as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, as He comes upon you. And then, you know, you'll be able to slow down. And then you'll be able to move in miraculous signs and wonders. Right? The Holy Spirit is going to lead you down to that. And people's lives are going to be changed when they see what God does. In Mark chapter 6, it says, "The Lord worked with them and conformed the message by accompanying signs." So there's going to be signs that are going to be following through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to see things start to happen. You're going to see lives begin to change. You're going to see people begin healed. So that baptism of the Holy Spirit is something we should be seeking. And not just seeking on Sunday mornings. Not just, you know, having it be a one-time event. Oh, you got saved, great. Got baptized with the Holy Spirit, check that box off, move on. No, it's more than that. It's a daily thing. It's a lifestyle. It's the way you go about living the life that God's called you to live. You need that power of the Holy Spirit in you. Because without it, you're going to be a dried riverbed. But with it, will be the mighty Mississippi rolling down. And we need to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's that initial baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? There's that initial evidence of speaking in tongues. But you need to keep being filled with it. You need to keep seeking after it. In fact, it's almost commanded that we do that. Because as we read in Acts chapter 1, it says, "He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." So Jesus told them to wait. Don't go nowhere. You got to stay there until you receive the promise of the Father. And if He told them that, then those words would apply to us today as well. We need to wait for that promise of the Father. Wherever we're at, wherever we're doing, we need to wait for that the promise of the Father. Because without it, you know, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Can't do a whole lot. We need that power that's there in us. We need that power to be with us. If I could have the worship team come on up. And as we keep getting filled up, as we keep receiving that infilling, we're going to start to grow. Our language is going to start to develop. You know, when kids are being born, when they're raising up, they don't come out of the womb speaking whole sentences. Right? They got to learn those words. Usually it starts out with dad. Right? I hope. No, it's always mom for whatever reason. And then they seem to learn no right away. Right? That's another one they learn right away. But then hopefully as they grow and they develop and they learn, you know, no thank you starts to happen. And then so along the way they learn dad there somewhere. But it's that It's that insulin that we need to seek after and look after to help us to grow. And it doesn't matter if you've been saved or a believer for one day or 100 days or 20 years. We all need that infilling. I need that infilling on a regular basis. And there's got to be ways we can get this. So how can we experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How do we do that? Well, an easy way to do it is to kind of create the atmosphere. Create that atmosphere of praise and worship. You'll notice, well, in the video clip that didn't get to play, they started to pray. And as they began to pray, as that atmosphere started to change, is when the Holy Spirit fell. So we've got to create an atmosphere around us, an atmosphere of praise in our hearts, inside of us. And we got to stay there in that atmosphere and just wait and be expecting of it. And we need to expect the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit of speaking in tongues. We got to expect it. We got to be waiting for it. Luke 11:13 says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children," it's talking about us parents there, "how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" If we ask the Father, He's going to give it to us. We've got to expect it. We've got to know that He's going to give it to us. And then along the way, we need to be willing to accept a couple of different things. You can go ahead and just play that down. We've got to be willing to accept a couple of things. One, we've got to be willing to stop speaking in our own language. Because we can't speak two languages at the same time. No matter how hard you try, you might mix the two. You know, sometimes we speak Spanglish. A couple of words in Spanish, a couple of words in English, a couple of words in Spanish, but you're not mixing the two. So you got to know that you can't speak languages at the same time. And you have to leave the known to receive the unknown. You have to leave the known to receive the unknown. All that you thought, all that you know, all that you were raised on, that's great. That's a good foundation. But you got to leave it behind. Because you got to make room for the Holy Spirit, which is unknown to us. You got to make room for Him to come in and fill us. So you got to make room for the unknown. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift. It's a gift from God. And we got to know how to receive a gift. Right? We don't want to be like our kids and always beg for a gift, you know, always demand it, because they have to have it. You've got to be there with your hands open, ready to receive it. And when that gift is handed to you, you've got to receive it and say thank you. You got to treasure it. You got to hold on to it. You got to know the power that it has in your life. You got to adore it. Because that gift was passed on to thousands of people before you. In all kinds of different situations that we're not even close to being in. And they embraced it. And they loved it and they held on to it. You got to respect that gift in that same way, in that same manner, and be thankful for it. You got to truly be thankful for it. And when you begin to hear these syllables in your head or these words, you know, just begin to talk. Just begin to speak them. Again, and if you've been baptized before, as you do it more and more, that vocabulary is going to grow. That language is going to grow as we grow. But again, in Acts it says, they began to speak in other tongues. You got to begin at some point. You got to open that mouth and let those words just fill it. And you may not hear words, you may not understand what it's saying, you may not know what it's saying, but again, you got to leave the known to experience the unknown. You got to leave it all behind. And even if it doesn't make sense to you, you speak it. You speak the language. And as you do, that infilling is going to flow through and that power is going to come on you. And that grace and that presence and that joy and that love and that peace of the Holy Spirit is going to come on you in a way that you've never felt before, you've never known before. I remember we can speak in languages of men and of angels. It says so in 1 Corinthians. Right? It says, if you speak in the tongues of men and angels, we have the ability to speak in the tongue of men and of angels, of heavenly things, of heavenly places. We have that ability. And being filled with the Holy Spirit is not based on our head knowledge. It's not based on what we know. But it's based on who we know. And it's based on our relationship with Him. Because we're built up in our faith when we pray in the Spirit. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." This walk that we walk leads to eternal life. This life that we live in Christ leads to eternal life. Not just here on this earth, but forever, to the end. So we need to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. We need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to embrace that Holy Spirit. Just like they did on this day so many years ago when they heard that loud rushing wind, they accepted and they embraced it and they were excited about it. And it moved in them and it changed their lives. That same Holy Spirit exists today. Will you stand with me this morning?